This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of acromioclavicular joint from the shoulder and elbow section on orthobullets.com. So let's start this episode talking about the osteology, motion, and stability of the acromioclavicular joint. In terms of osteology, the AC joint is a diarthrodial joint. Its fibrocartilaginous intraarticular disc is located between the osseous segments. As far as motion, the majority of the motion of the acromioclavicular joint is from the bones, not through the joint. The clavicle rotates 40 to 50 degrees posteriorly with shoulder elevation, 8 degrees of rotation is through the AC joint, and the remainder is from scapular rotation and sternoclavicular motion. The joint itself is limited to gliding motions only. Now let's talk about stability. Specifically, we'll talk about the acromioclavicular ligament, the coracoclavicular ligaments, specifically the trapezoid and conoid, and finally the deltotrapezial fascia, capsule, deltoid, and trapezius. So starting with the acromioclavicular ligament, this provides horizontal stability. It has superior, inferior, anterior, and posterior components. Keep in mind that the superior ligament is the strongest, followed by the posterior ligament. Moving on to the coracoclavicular ligaments, which are the trapezoid and the conoid, these provide vertical stability. The trapezoid inserts 3 centimeters from the end of the clavicle, and it's a stabilizer against horizontal and vertical loads. The conoid inserts 4.5 centimeters from the end of the clavicle in the posterior border. This is the more important ligament and is a vertical stabilizer of the AC joint. Keep in mind that the normal CC distance, that is the superior coracoid to inferior clavicle, is 11 to 13 millimeters. Finally, with respect to the deltotrapezial fascia, capsule, deltoid, and trapezius, these act as additional stabilizers. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over a few questions to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. The first question reads, a 26-year-old weightlifter had increasing pain in his left shoulder for 4 months. Non-surgical treatment consisting of anti-inflammatory medication, corticosteroid injections, and rest failed to alleviate his symptoms. He underwent an arthroscopic distal clavicle resection with excision of the distal 8 millimeters of clavicle, otherwise known as the Mumford procedure. 3 months after surgery, he reported popping by his clavicle and mild pain. His clavicle demonstrated mild posterior instability on examination without any obvious deformity on his radiographs. What structures were compromised during his excision? And the choices are 1. Anterior and superior acromioclavicular joint ligaments, 2. Posterior and superior acromioclavicular joint ligaments, 3. Conoid ligament, and 4. Trapezoid ligament. The correct answer to this question is 2, posterior and superior acromioclavicular joint ligaments. So the posterior and superior acromioclavicular ligaments provide the most restraint to posterior translation of the acromioclavicular joint and must be preserved during a Mumford procedure. Anterior and superior acromioclavicular joint ligaments are the opposite of the preferred response and prevent anterior translation of the clavicle. Injuries to the conoid and trapezoid ligaments are more pronounced with grade 3 or higher acromioclavicular separations with superior migration of the clavicle relative to the acromion. Moving on to the next question. A 29-year-old quarterback falls onto his dominant shoulder and sustains a type 5 acromioclavicular dislocation. Management should consist of, and the choices are 1, an arm sling, 2, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs and a rapid return to activity, 3, arthroscopic partial clavicularectomy, 4, acromioclavicular joint reduction and stabilization, and 5, acromionectomy. The correct answer to this question is 4, acromioclavicular joint reduction and stabilization. So type 5 acromioclavicular dislocations are characterized by elevation of the clavicle of 100% to 300% and involve extensive soft tissue stripping. The treatment of choice is surgical reduction of the acromioclavicular joint and some type of stabilization. Treatment of type 3 injuries is controversial. And moving on to the final question. When performing an arthroscopic distal clavicle excision for acromioclavicular joint arthrosis, which of the following structures must be preserved to prevent postoperative anteroposterior instability of the clavicle? And the choices are 1, trapezoid ligament, 2. Anterior and inferior acromioclavicular joint capsule. 3. Superior and posterior acromioclavicular joint capsule. 4. Coracohumeral ligament. And 5. Conoid ligament. The correct answer to this question is 3. Superior and posterior acromioclavicular joint capsule. So numerous biomechanical studies have shown that the primary restraint to anteroposterior translation of the clavicle is the ligamentous thickenings of the acromioclavicular joint capsule. Debski et al. Showed in one such study that the strongest of these ligaments is the superior one, verifying the findings of several other authors. They reported that the superior ligament supplies around 50% of the strength against anteroposterior translation, and it is thickest in its posterior aspect. Additionally, the posterior AC ligament adds an additional 25% of the overall strength. For this reason, these ligaments should be preserved when performing a distal clavicle resection. The length of the distal clavicle that can be taken and still preserve stability of the joint is highly debated in the literature. The conoid and trapezoid ligaments are the primary restraints to vertical translation at the AC joint. That's all for this review about the acromioclavicular joint. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website or mobile app while going through the topic. If you've gotten any value from the OrthoBullets podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.